Hi everyone, thanks so much for joining me on this masterclass on writing mytho-fiction. My name is Anuja Chandramouli and I'm an author and a New Age Indian classicist. I've written 11 books in the genres of mythology, historical fiction and fantasy. So I've written books on Arjuna, Kamadeva, Shakti, Yama's Lieutenant, Prithviraj Chauhan, Padmavati, and Kartikeya, Ganga, Tughlaq. And my latest book is Mohini the Enchantress, winner of the Popular Choice Author Award, JK Papers and TOI Group. I'm also a TEDx speaker and a storyteller. My Mahabharata and Ramayana with Anuja is available on YouTube as well as Spotify. I do creative writing workshops and sessions on empowerment, crafting your very own success story, stuff like that. I do it on various platforms across India. And I write a column for the New Indian Express. And I'm also a book critic. And finally, I'm a trained classical dancer. So enough about me. It's a boring topic anyway. So let's begin our masterclass. So I have 10 steps for you today in this masterclass on writing mytho-fiction. But before we begin, I just want to say at the onset that I do not have a fancy degree on the subject. I haven't studied abroad or anything. It's just stuff that I've learned over the course of writing 11 books. And it's stuff I've picked up on the fly. I can't claim to be an expert. I can't claim to have the secret formula which is going to guarantee bestseller status for your book. But one thing I want to say is that I've been very fortunate. All my author buddies like Ashwin Sanghi, Anand Neelakantan, Kavita Kane, Shiny Anthony, they've been so helpful when it comes to sharing tips and advice, stuff like that. They're all very warm, generous people, and I've been very privileged. So I would also like to share some of the tips which I think you will find very useful and helpful. I'm confident that you will get something out of this masterclass. So let's go ahead with this. And let's begin with step one. Now, step one is extremely basic, extremely obvious, and yet you'll be surprised at how many people are willing to skip this part because, you know, people are weird, I guess. So the first step is reading. If you want to write anything at all, you cannot do it if you're not a reader first and foremost, okay? So it is the most important thing. Words are to writing what inhaling is to breathing, okay? So what you take in is what you're going to pour out on the paper. So you do have to read whatever you can get your hands on. Please cultivate this extremely valuable habit. It is a non-negotiable step. There is no way you can skip this step if you want to become a writer. And I would suggest that you read books outside of the genre you're interested in writing in. For instance, while it's true that I write books on mythology and historical fiction, my reading is not limited only to these genres. Though, of course, I read a lot in this genre as well. I am a voracious reader. I read anything I can get my hands on. Even if I'm sitting in the dentist's office and I'm nervous and I'm feeling horrid, you can count on me to pick up a dental magazine sitting there and, you know, just reading whatever's written there, mostly boring stuff, but some of it's not bad. So basically, I will read anything I can get my hands on. And even if it's, if you don't have the time to read books all the time, please do read articles, columns. IPL is happening right now. So if you want to read up on the subject, it's, believe me, it's super fascinating. There are some brilliant sports journalists out there. So whatever you do, read. Read. Reading has to be a huge part of your life if you want to become a writer. Encourage all the authors out there by buying their books and supporting their work. And one more point to be added here. Regional literature gets such a raw deal. It's a treasure trove. There is some truly, truly brilliant work there. So if you haven't read Perumal Murugan, if you haven't read Manto, if you haven't read Kalki, my God, you're losing out big time. So please do read regional literature. If you can't read in the original language, please depend on translators. Translators are a blessing. They are the mainstay of writing, I would say. So please do read a lot. I cannot stress this point enough. If you want to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader first. It's that simple. Okay. So we will move on to step two. Step two is also extremely obvious. It is to become a writer, you have to write. You know, do not expect a sprinkling of fairy dust and a choir of angels in shimmering costumes to signal your entry into the world of writing. Nothing like that's going to happen. You just have to park your butt at the best possible moment. Please don't wait for good days, auspicious days, whatever. Don't wait for divine intervention. Just sit down, start writing, make it a regular part of your life. And I'm not talking about just grocery bills and stuff like that. So yeah, of course, you can do that also. I'll keep a journal. I've been keeping a journal from school. Don't worry, it's not going to become anything like Anne Frank's journal or something. It's not going to change the world because I wrote seriously boring stuff in there, you know. I think most of it came down to, yay, there was chocolate cake at a party today. So I love cake. So I've written a lot about cake. So, you know, but write something. Just make it a part of your lifestyle so that it feels as organic as breathing when you do it. So just keep a little journal to jot down your observations, to write witty quotes, anecdotes which you've heard. And something I love to do is... when I'm reading a book and there's a seriously beautiful passage, maybe it's funny, maybe it's thought-provoking, whatever, I will write it down. I feel it's a way of showing respect to the author and those beautiful words they've penned, no? So I'm forever filling up journals with all these passages from brilliant books which I've been privileged to read. And it can be funny stuff too. Maybe it's a funny joke. Maybe it's an age joke, whatever. It's whatever, that anything that makes you smile or think anything, just write it down. Make it a habit. And believe me, you'll be thanking me for this tip. And while I'm talking about writing, I want to emphasize that we need to remember that not every word that comes out of a pen, not every word we type on MS Word is the work of a genius, okay? A lot of writing is rewriting. Now, George Bernard Shaw, he said that you should write drunk and edit sober. Now, this is not exactly an endorsement for substance abuse, so don't get me wrong here, because I'm a teetotaler, so I'm not really, suggesting that you all get smashed or high to write. That's not what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure you get the essence of what I'm saying. It is to let the words pour out of you in a torrential outpouring. Don't stop yourself. Don't try to control what's being put down. Just let it flow out of you, but don't leave it in that raw, unvarnished state. Return to it. Your writing needs polish. So rewrite. Rewrite as many times as it's necessary to do that. And this is the editing part of it. You have to self-edit. Editing is a huge part of writing. You need a strong editor to give your manuscript a beautiful coat of polish to make it go down well with the readers. Okay, so but before it goes to that step, you have to self-edit. No one knows your baby as well as you do. So, you know, just devote some time to that. That's a huge part of it. You know, nobody ever gets their first draft published. It just doesn't work that way. So remember that it's not just about writing. It's about rewriting and it's about editing as well. Right. So we've covered the first two steps. Let's move on to step three. Step three is one of my favorites. It's research. Now, when you're writing about mythology, Indian mythology, research is a huge part of it. Because we are very, very fortunate in that we have a treasure trove of Puranic lore, you know, the epics, the Itihasas, it's all there, the Upanishads. There's so much material there. One lifetime is definitely not enough for you to wade through this material. There is so much there, and the research is a beautiful part of, you know, your journey as a writer of mythofiction. So I spend countless hours on research and I love it. I have my trusty journal with me. I take notes. I know my like my children, you feel I'm antiquated. Don't rely on your journal. You can use a notepad, MS Word, you know, just to copy down passages from the research, just to help you get sorted, to have a very clear picture in your head about the subject you're researching. Okay, so don't try to scrimp on this process. Don't try to skip. Don't try to get ahead. Just enjoy this process where you're just soaking up the research, where you're educating yourself on everything that's available on this subject. All right. So that's something you need to do. And now when it comes to research, I want to add one more thing. It is a very, very magical space. It's like going down the rabbit's hole and losing yourself in a world that's full of magic and beauty. And it's a very, very fascinating space. So, you know, you can get lost there. You can, you know, deviate from the subject you're researching, and you can, you know, wind up exploring other fascinating passages there, other fascinating stories there. So please, you know, remember to stay focused and try to absorb everything you need for your story. And you have to cut, you know, wind up the process at some stage. You don't want to spend the next 20 years of your life on research, right? Because see, writing is getting down to the nitty gritty. It's not very glamorous work, you know. I know in a lot of, you know, thanks to film and television, you think that writers are bohemian artists who just sit in cafes and look gorgeous and have a cup of coffee and, you know, boom, manuscript just emerges for them. Let me tell you, it's very unglamorous. There's a lot of perspiration involved here, a lot more perspiration than inspiration. So, you know, a part of you will be reluctant to roll up your sleeves and get to work. You'll think, okay, let me just, the research part is fun. I'm enjoying this. Let me do this. And, you know, you keep procrastinating when it comes to writing. Please do not do that. Try to strike a balance between doing thorough research and also making the time to write, to put that research to good use. Okay, so I want you to remember that the research is very, very important, very important. You need it for detailing, obviously. You need to make your material feel authentic. And for that, you need to really soak in the essence of a bygone age. And you can do that only by spending patient time on research and getting to know that world, getting to understand the past. Okay, because it will give you a perspective for the present, and it will also give you an insight into the future. So it's a beautiful thing about writing historic and fiction and Indian mythology, that you are exposing yourself to the treasures of the past. Okay, so we will move on from there to step four. Now, I told you that it's a lot about perspiration more than inspiration. So, you know, you just have to make the time to sit down and write. And for that, you need that old-fashioned thing called discipline. It doesn't sound very sexy, not very glamorous, but roll up your sleeves, get to work, park your butt, start writing. And now I will tell you some of the technical aspects. In step four, we will cover some of the technical aspects of the writing process. First and foremost, you start with the skeleton. Okay, we've all seen it in the biology lab, right? So you need that skeleton here also. So the skeleton which I'm talking about here is the bare outline of the plot. As you do your research, usually you'll get an idea of what you want to do with this story you've set out to write. And some authors carry it in their head. They have the bare bones in their head. Some people actually write it down. Or you know, type it out, whatever. You have a little outline, a synopsis, and once that is done, you can move forward. You have your main framework upon which to build. And now, of course, you need to add the, you need to flesh it out. Blood, muscles, sinew, all of it. Now that part of it involves creating these memorable characters. You need character development as well as world development. And now when it comes to writing a good character, a memorable character, of maybe doing justice to this particular character you've chosen to write about, it's like, you know, surprisingly easy and difficult at the same time, right? So it's like you have to realize that your character has to be believable, somebody the reader can empathize with. So in order to create this character, you need to infuse this character with a lot of personal insights. which you've had by observing people in your life. Maybe this character has traits which you yourself has. Okay, so you know, you need to make your character truly breathe. And a little tip for when you've succeeded, when you know that you've succeeded with creating a memorable character, is when the character starts surprising you. As you're writing, it's a beautiful organic state where, you know, the character takes you by surprise. You think, okay, this is my creation. I know what this character is going to do. But the character has a life of its own only when the character takes you by surprise, by saying something you did not expect, by doing something you did not expect. That's a beautiful moment. That's when you realize, okay, I've created something that is autonomous from me, that is independent from me. And it's hugely humbling because, you know, your character is out there on the page doing his or her own thing. Okay, so I know it sounds a little abstract right now, but trust me, you will get the hang of it as you go. And believe me, it's totally worth it. The payoff is amazing when, you know, you've infused life into your character, when you've put so much of yourself into them that they've come alive. So that would be character development. And when I talked about world development, because we Indian mythology is usually set in the past, you need to just make sure that it feels authentic. That there's a lot of detailing there, that you stay true to that period, to those characters. Try as far as possible to always be respectful. Don't try and make your characters politically correct just for the sake of it, just for the heck of it. See, if you don't have any understanding of a trans character or a gay character, don't try to, you know, give your take on it. It has to be something which is close to you, something which you understand, right? It's these are little things to bear in mind. Try and respect the material, respect your characters, treat them with sensitivity, but don't have any ulterior motive. Don't try to impress some imaginary critic out there. When you write, your focus should be solely on your novel, your characters, the story. These are the things which should take precedence. Don't worry about whether this is going to be the next bestseller, which is going to sell a million copies, which the critics are going to get very enthusiastic about. And, you know, your book is going to get drowned in awards and accolades. Don't think about all that. It's very, very distracting and it's counterproductive. You will wind up compromising on personal integrity when you write the story. So just stay focused only on your material and you will be rewarded, trust me. So now we've finished 4 steps and I will come to step 5, which is one of my favorites. It's what I call immersion, right? Now, again, this is an abstract concept, so bear with me for a little bit. Now, when I say immersion, what I mean is you need to disappear into this world which you are creating, which you are building. You know, it's like slowly leaving behind the trappings of your daily life, your daily routine, your reality. So it's a process where you leave all the baggage from your world behind, all the petty concerns, all the mundane chores which have been taking up headspace. Leave it one by one, one by one, one by one, and focus entirely on this world you're building. Disappear into that world, become one with the characters, okay? And start experiencing what you're writing. You have to, it's that single-minded concentration which is key here. It's almost a spiritual journey. It's entirely therapeutic to have that kind of concentration, to have that kind of love for this world, for these characters, who will become such a huge integral part of your life. So very gently enter this world, immerse yourself in this world, and it's sort of like being in the zone. When Roger Federer is at his sublime best, or when MS Dhoni is doing his thing, you know, they are in the zone. So you also need to enter the zone. And as a dancer, I think I've experienced what it means to leave the trappings of the physical world. And when you climb on that stage, you leave hunger behind. One thing, you know, people look at dancers in their costumes, classical dancers, and they think, oh my God, they're so glamorous. look at the makeup, and some people think it's bizarre also, whatever. So, you know, you see that mask, the makeup, and you think, wow, look at them. But actually, it's not that glamorous. Mostly, I think most dancers at some point when you climb up on stage, you'll probably need to piss or something. And you're thinking, God, my timing. And it's how it is, right? But when you climb up on that stage, you leave everything behind. The urge to pee, your hunger, your thirst, your insecurities. You know, maybe you're menstruating that day and you're cramping and you're not sure if you can dance to the best of your abilities. You leave all that behind, and somehow you will find that on that stage, when you're listening to the music, when you become one with the music, when you're dancing as if, you know, in a dream, as if your life depends on it, you become one with the dance, you find that you transcend all your physical limitations. It doesn't matter. Suddenly, all the demands of your body have fallen by the wayside. It's just you and the music. So that is a state of flow, a state of total absorption. And it is a beautiful place to be in. And you definitely need to experience this at some point in your life. It's what will give your life a richness of flavor that you didn't even know was missing. So it's a privilege to be an artist, to practice the art of writing, dancing. So take that blessing very seriously. Cherish that gift and enjoy this immersive state, and thank me later for telling you about it. And you can feel free to share your experiences also, because, you know, writing is a very lonely job. We need to be there for each other. We need to support each other as best as we can. So feel free to reach out to me with your experiences of this immersive state.